Amen. I want to take as my text this morning the words of verse 11 of Matthew chapter 2. It says, "And when they," that is the wise men, "were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." Now I want to speak to you this morning on the worship of the wise men, the worship of the wise men. Alternatively, we could make the statement, wise men worship Jesus. There are many general lessons from the story and the experience of the wise men who came to visit the Christ child, and we could learn from them. We learn something from the journey that they made. It's recorded for us in verse 1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Someone commented this week to me, wouldn't it have been a strange thing if they had modern communication and technology in the days when the Lord was born, the wise men? Well, I don't think they would have, but some suggested, well, they might have looked a Zoom meeting with Mary and Joseph there in the stable, and it would have saved them a journey. I don't think they would, because I think they wanted to have been there in person to worship the Lord. And they made this tremendous journey from the east. No trains, no planes, no automobiles. Probably coming from the east, they journeyed on the camel. And they made their way, a tremendous journey, to get to Bethlehem to meet the Lord. And there is a picture of the wise man leaving the far country and coming to unto the Lord. There is a picture of the sinner coming to Christ, leaving the far country. The far country in the Bible is a picture of the world and the place of sin. It's mentioned in the parable of the prodigal son. And you have to leave the far country of sin. Come in repentance to behold and to embrace the Lord Jesus as He's freely offered in the gospel. And the journey that these wise men took in leaving the far country and making their way to the Lord, it's a picture of man in his sin, leaving his sin and coming unto the Lord to meet Him, to see Him, to embrace Him, to behold Him, and to worship Him. Have you left the far country of sin? And have you made that journey to come and be where Christ is? Learn from their journey. But then we also learn from their inquiry. The star brought them so far. Their understanding was only so much. And they made the inquiry in verse 2. "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And while at first they searched in the wrong place, they asked the right question and they got the answer. And they got the answer from the scripture. You'll see it in verse 5. "And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." Word of their inquiry came to Herod. Herod called for the scribes and the wise men, and they were able to say, "You'll find the Messiah, the Christ child, in Bethlehem, because thus it is written by the prophet." Micah 5:2 declares that the Messiah would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. And the lesson that we learn is this: if you want to find Christ, the true Christ, not the Christ of your imagination, not the Christ that the world wants to think about or present, but if you want to find the true Christ, the true Son of God, you'll find Him in the Scriptures. That's why it's important to read the Word. That's why it's important to have a relationship with the Word of God on an ongoing and a continual basis. Because you'll find Christ in the Scriptures. Jesus said, "They are they that testify of Me." He expounded to the two on the road to Emmaus all the things concerning Himself from the law and the prophets, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them all the things concerning Himself from the Holy Scriptures. Friends, if you want to find Christ, you'll find Him in the Bible. Read the Word. Meditate upon the Word. Believe the Word. Learn the Word. Memorize it. Call it to memory. Because we'll find Him in the Scriptures. We learn from their journey. We learn from their inquiry. And then we learn from their discovery. Verse 11, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child. When they followed the Scriptures, they met and they discovered Him. And I just repeat again, when you search the Scriptures, you will discover Christ. And when they discovered Christ, their response was that they fell down and worshipped Him. Every soul that truly discovers the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation will worship Him. That is the natural response of the redeemed soul. When the Lord saves us, when we discover Him, when we find Him, there is a natural desire, birthed of the Holy Ghost within, that we will worship Him. The word worship means to give adoration, praise, honor, and to do obeisance unto Him. This morning, I want us to consider the worship of the wise men. And I have four very simple and short lessons from the worship of the wise men. I want you to notice, first of all, the recipient of their worship. And I'm emphasizing the word Him. You know, words matter. And we often say the little words matter. The single words matter in the Scripture. And isn't the word Him so important in that verse? It says when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped Him. You'll notice in this verse, the house or the place is mentioned. But they did not worship the place. The Word of God knows nothing anymore of holy places or holy shrines or holy relics. There was only one holy place, and with the death and resurrection of Christ, it was done away with. There's no such thing as a holy mountain, or a holy building, or a sacred building, as it were, in that sense that we would give worship to it. No. They didn't worship the place. They worshipped the person. And as important as it is to have a place and of times where the saints of God, the Church of Christ, meets, our worship is not of a building or a place. It's of the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice that verse 11 not only mentions the place, but it mentions Mary, the mother. They came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped Him. Scripture is careful to state that Mary was not included in their worship. They did not give honor or praise or thanksgiving to God that was due alone to Him unto Mary. She was left out of the divine worship, and rightly so. For as blessed as she was, and as great a service as she performed in bringing the Messiah into the world, no mortal man or woman, no saint of God is to receive worship that is to be directed unto the Lord and the Lord only. Remember when Peter came into the house of Cornelius, and Cornelius and some of his men were about to bow down and worship him, and Peter rebuked them, saying that he was only a mere man. And so it was even with Mary. She was just flesh and blood, a woman, a sinner saved by grace. And therefore the wise men left her out of their worship, and wise men still leave Mary out of worship. They only directed their worship toward Jesus. And in doing so, let me say this, they confessed and they acknowledged His deity and His Godhead. You see, the Bible says in Matthew 4:10, Jesus quoting words from Deuteronomy, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." And therefore, if the babe, the young child in Mary's arms, if the young child was not the Lord of glory, if He was not God manifested in the flesh, then the wise men were guilty of idolatry and were breaking the first and second commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or earth beneath. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. If Jesus was not God, then the wise men were guilty of gross idolatry and a breaking of the commands of the Lord. But I say to you that in worshipping Him, they were acknowledging that He was and He is God, and that He is worthy and deserving of the same worship as the Father and the Spirit, as the second person of the Godhead. And in worshipping Him, they were confessing that Jesus Christ is God. The one whom Mary bore, the one whom she carried and gave birth to, the one she cradled in her arms, the one that she raised, was God manifested in the flesh. And therefore the wise men were wise when they worshipped Him as the Lord. The recipient of their worship, I want you to consider secondly this morning, the reverence of their worship. Look at the verse again. It says, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped Him. Now the falling down was not some hyper emotional experience. You will see a lot of today in charismatic circles, where people will become so ecstatic and emotional, and they'll fall down in all sorts of ways, and they may even convulse and do other things. That's not what this means. That's not what took place. Rather, the falling down in the word, or the phrase to fall down, it refers to an action akin to bowing the knee or the head in an act of dignified and understood reverence. When one comes into the presence of earthly royalty, it is normal to show reverence to their position and to bow the head. And how much more in coming before the heavenly King, the God of heaven and earth, the God of gods, or God of judges as it really is, the God of the rulers of the earth. How much more relevant is it that when we come into His presence, we bow in reverence, not in some convulsive emotional way, but rather in an act of dignified and understood reverence. And when you go through the scriptures, you will see, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, even in heaven, the visions of heaven, whether it be angels or men, worship that is given to God, both by angels and men, is given in a spirit of understanding with deep respect and reverence toward the Lord. No frivolity, no hyperactivity, no stupidity, rather reverent understanding. Let me just show you Old, New, and New Testament references. Let me refer to a number in Genesis 24 and verse 26. We read of Abraham's servant. Tells us, and the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. When the Lord led him to the house of Laban, a wife for Isaac, it says he bowed down his head in an act of reverence and worship the Lord. Flick over to Exodus chapter 12 and the time of the Passover and the verse 27. Again, you have this thought brought out. Ye shall say, Exodus 12 and 27, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover who passed over the houses of the children of Israel, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped. They're remembering the sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb shed so that they might be delivered from the wrath and judgment of God. And when they did so, they bowed their head and worshipped. They bowed in reverence and worshipped, remembering the sacrifice. We remember the sacrifice of Christ. We're to bow the head and worship with reverence. Exodus 34 and 8 is a personal example of Moses. Exodus 34 and verse 8, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. This act of reverence. When you come to the New Testament, let me give you two references. They're the one incident, but you have to put them both together. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2, you read of the leper. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. As the Lord came down the mount, the leper worshipped the Lord. And in Mark's account, Mark 1 and verse 40, it tells us that in coming to worship the Lord, he bowed the head. There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down and saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He kneeled. He worshipped. He besought the Lord. This act of reverence, acknowledging that he is Lord. Let me give you one more. It's from a scene in heaven, Revelation 7 and the verse 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and the elders and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God. They fell, or they bowed before the Lord with their faces to the earth, and they worshipped God. Old Testament, New Testament, a scene from heaven. The wise men are included in it. They bowed the knee and they worshipped him. A spirit of reverence and respect in dignified understanding of who the Lord is permeates the worship of God's people. I say to you, that's something that has been lost in the general church of Christ in this age in which we live. May God grant it to us. And may it be noted and marked in this place when we worship him, a reverence for the Lord and the things of God. I want you to notice thirdly, if you go back to Matthew chapter 2, we've considered the recipient of their worship and the reverence of their worship. Notice the result of their worship. Notice the verse 11. It's careful to distinguish between their worship and the presentation of their gifts. The presentation of their gifts were not their worship, but they accompanied their worship. They worshipped Him. And when they had opened their treasures. So there's a distinguishing between their worship and the presenting of their gifts to Christ. Once they had worshipped, they rendered their natural response. And that was to open their treasures and present their gifts. There's a sermon in the gifts upon themselves. The gold that reminds us of royalty and kingship. The frankincense or incense, it speaks of the deity of Christ. Incense was offered in the temple or the tabernacle to the Lord, and it ascended unto the Lord going up. And the myrrh was the embalming oil for to embalm the dead bodies. And you put all those gifts together and you realize that Christ, the Christ child, He was God who had come down, but He was the King of the Jews, the King of all the earth, the King of creation. But He was the King who would die the sins of men. They brought these gifts and they presented them. Christ child, you know our worship, our adoration, our praise, our thanksgiving, it flows from the heart. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. But with our worship, we too should bring our gift to the altar, as it were. The spiritual altar. Our altar is Christ. And we should present the gift of our time. We should present the gift of our talents. We should present the gift of our tithe. These things should accompany our worship. The Lord Jesus, speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, is really speaking about if there was offense between one brother and another. He says, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there's aught between you and your brother, leave your gift at the altar and be reconciled. But the point He was making was, they brought their gift to the altar with them, the place of worship. And so it should be in our lives. Our worship, recognizing He is our King. He is our God who died upon the cross for our sins. In worshiping Him, we should present the gift of our lives, our time, our tithes, and our talents before Him. That He might take them and use them for His own honor and for His own glory. I want you to notice the final thought this morning. Not only the recipient of their worship, the reverence in their worship, the result of their worship, but the revelation from their worship. I want you to look at verse 12. It says, I'm being warned of God in a dream, that they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. After they worshipped the Lord revealed Himself to them. The Lord spoke to them. And in particular, it was that they should not return to Herod. He, sly old fox, had told them, come and tell me where the Christ child is and I'll go and worship Him. He was going to slay the Christ child, or so he desired. What he didn't realize is that God was over all and would not permit it. The civil ruler can only go so far and can only do as the sovereign Lord permits. And the wise man, not realizing his cunning, his evil intent, they were intended to return to Him, but they were warned of God in a dream. They should not return to Him. When did God give them that revelation? When did God speak to them? When did God minister to them and lead them and guide them in the right way? It was after they worshipped. And the point I would make in closing and very practically is this. If you want to hear personally from the Lord, if you want to know the leading of the Lord in your life, if you want the Lord to reveal great things from His Word to guide you and instruct you and teach you, if you want to hear from the Lord, then don't neglect the worship of the Lord. For it was after they worshipped Him, after they presented their gifts to Him, that the Lord spoke to them, revealed Himself unto them, and led them in the right way. And He'll lead you, and He'll guide you, and He'll speak to you when you worship Him and you present your life, your gift.